ha ha ha, you have to go back to the office. No more working in pajamas for you. That'll teach you to not be a lazy piece of shit.
Profits have hit a record high, and you've all worked overtime to make it happen. So it's time to be rewarded with a corporate pizza party. The podcast taking you inside the highs and lows of corporate America, hosted by Dan Space, Farah Sharghi, and Mike Petito. We couldn't afford bonuses this year, but sit back and enjoy the next best thing.
Welcome back to another corporate pizza party. And this week, I have important questions for everybody. We're going to talk about a lot of important questions. I want to get right into these things because then I have an important question for you, our award-winning listeners, of course. but I want to go around and introduce everybody first. Farah, hello. Good morning. Tell us about yourself.
Hi. Good morning, Mike. Hello, everyone. I'm Farah Sharghi, a technical recruiter and career coach. Well, actually, maybe I was a technical recruiter. I haven't technically recruited in a few months. Based in San Francisco, and I have no donut stories, guys. I've been locked in my house, and there's like a huge, massive snowstorm coming in NorCal, which is kind of exciting and scary. So I don't know. I want the weather to turn. I'm getting SAD, like super sad from like seasonal depression. I don't know about you guys, but other than that, I'm great. How about you guys?
One of those rare NorCal snowstorms should cure that seasonal depression that's going on out there. Yeah, no dunce. I believe Farah just made the best recruiter dad joke I've ever heard as well of, I was a technical recruiter, but I'm no longer technically recruiting. I think it's just an amazing line, Farah. If we had merch, that's going on it.
Well, who said we can't have merch?
Dan, hello. Tell us about yourself.
Hi, my name is Daniel. I am the HR business partner / recruiter of this group, and I have a special gift for Pete.
For Pete, our producer, who has complained that Dan sniffs into the microphone too often, there you are. for the rest of you listening, we're sorry for this joke that Dan made at all of your expenses for one person. And now the rest of you just have to listen to him sniff into the microphone aggressively.
You're goddamn right.
Hey, Mike, why don't you tell us about yourself?
My name is Mike Petito. I am technically a technical recruiter or just a recruiter. And I have a question for everybody today, for all of our listeners and maybe for everyone here. Are y'all okay? Because we were talking before starting recording, and I have been talking to several other friends of mine, and I know there's a lot going on. I know that like nobody's actually happy with anything anymore, but are y'all okay out there? Because you specifically, listener, but also just everyone out there is fucking angry these days and being so mean to everybody, including 8-year-old girls for singing the national anthem, and just, what is going on? Like, are you two seeing this? Like, is everyone just fucking mad at everyone all of a sudden?
I was very upset the other day, but I didn't take it out on anyone. I joked around with my parents when I moved to North Carolina because I noticed that every time we would eat dinner with my sister and her boyfriend, the most rousing conversation was like the price of food. And I was like, I can't wait to be a full North Carolina native and like get into these engaging things about how expensive corn has gotten. And, you know, I did that obviously as a joke, but then yesterday I spent $14 on peaches and I was like, this is out of control. And so I was angry, but I did not take it out on anyone online. I vented to my sister and I was like, I think I'm now a North Carolina resident because now I'm angry about the price of peaches.
It's really hard not to be angry about the price of things. And this is not a podcast where we are going to talk finance prices of things, I promise. But it's funny because I have this conversation with friends all the time, too. And I'm like, I don't know that there's like any more sign of like becoming an older dad than the fact that I'm constantly complaining about like what everything costs. But also, we can all agree that everything does just cost a ton right now and is out of control. And I think that is what's making people angry to begin with. But Farah, are you seeing everyone just be angry at you?
You know, it's funny because they've always been angry at me. It's like, I'm like, all of a sudden, no. It's like, you know, ever since I've made content, so I started making content 3 years ago. And whenever I tell people, like, this is where I've worked, this is what I've done, sure enough, there's always some troll who's an underachiever on the internet who's got to, like, lash out at me for working hard. I'm like, hey, man, listen, I've had no life. This is what I've done in my work. Like, I focused on my work. And, you know, don't get mad at me about that. But I'll tell you what, I went to Walgreens yesterday and I did get mad because Dr. Bronner's Castile soap used to be $10 for a bottle. It's now $22 for a bottle. And I'm like, what? In a year, we've jumped up in price. We've doubled in price. It's the same soap. Like, how much does lye cost? Like, it cannot cost. What? This is insane. Like, what? So, yeah, I'm seeing a lot of people getting really aggressive in my comments. And what's really weird, which is related to our podcast, is so many CEO apologists. And I'm like, what?
Yes.
Why are you people like defending CEOs? Like, CEOs behaving badly. No, but they deserve to make $50 million. No, they do not. No, they do not. And in fact, back in the day when pension plans used to exist in the 50s, right, in the 60s, CEOs didn't make that much more money than their employees. It was like as pension plans started to disappear, companies started replacing them with 401k plans. 401k plans were actually designed to help CEOs shelter their money from taxes. So everything started to shift. Once that happened, pay disparities started to increase over time. And just the, like, when I talk about stories of the CEOs behaving badly, like ones I've had direct experiences with, they're like, you're stupid. The CEO is smart. I'm like, no, they're not always smart. They just happen to be the CEO because maybe they founded the company, right?
This consistent, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but the consistent where I think now it's been four CEOs in a row where people are now finally putting together the dots that the CEO announces a layoff, the stock prices surge, and they cash out. You know, and this was the CEO for Wayfair was like one of the worst, like the CEO for Wayfair, the CEO for Nike, now the Meta, you know, with the good old Zuck, you know, and all of a sudden people realizing he's building a $100 million compound. They're like, oh, this is why you laid people off, because now Facebook is doing their first $50 billion dividend program.
Something about Meta I want to point out too, because people are also angry about the job market. And I keep telling people, I'm like, listen, recruiters, HR, we all got hugely impacted by layoffs. I was laid off as well. And for statistical reasons, I happen to have this number with me because somebody posted about this on LinkedIn and they actually showed data. And they said Meta used to have 3,000 recruiters in 2021. Now they have 518. And all of my friends who worked at Meta who were recruiters were all laid off. I only know one recruiter now at Meta who happens to be another content creator. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So people are like, I don't understand. Like, I'm applying to these jobs. I'm not hearing back. I'm like, the recruiters who are there are drowning. They're drowning. And companies won't rehire recruiters to help take on this massive amount of work that they've had to undertake.
I made a video about this exact thing a couple of weeks ago, and it got picked up by some random, you know how sometimes these like media outlets like don't even talk to you and they'll just like take your video and make it look like quotes that they asked you and run a story, and it happened. And then they made a TikTok about it where they basically just like, rather than using me or referencing me in any way, just like made a video about their article that they took from my video. It's fine. But it was about this. And I said it, and I was like, recruiting teams that used to be 100 or 10. Recruiting teams used to be 10 are now one. And at the same time, those 10-person recruiting teams used to get 50 applicants, and now they're one-person teams getting 500 applicants. And the comments in the video were just like, no, that's not what's happening. That's not what's happening. I'm just like, I fucking lived it. What do you mean it's not what's happening? Like, why do you think you fucking know everything? Which goes back to my initial question, are y'all okay? But like, yeah, it is the recruiting teams, and yeah, it is the CEO apologists, and all of this is right, and all of this is what's happening. And it's funny, I think I've addressed all of this because it's all just gotten to me over the last like week. I made a video on TikTok making fun of how quick user 684217 will run to your comments to say, start your own business then if you criticize the CEO. Like, look, no, not every CEO is evil. I know great CEOs. We all know CEOs who are nice people and doing the best they can for their company. But CEOs of mega companies do not need your help. I promise you. They don't need you to defend them in the comment section behind your gray egg photo. They don't need you to show up and tell everyone if you can do better, go start your own company. They're never going to see it. They're not going to promote you because you got on the internet and did that. And it's amazing because I see people come in just like actively rooting against other people. I had this video about return to office, and this always gets people super fired up, of course. And there was someone in the comments just like egging on everyone who prefers remote work, just like, ha, 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 you have to go back to the office. No more working in pajamas for you. That'll teach you to not be a lazy piece of shit. It's just like, what is wrong with you? You're never going to be the CEO. You're not going to hang out with them. Why are you doing this to someone who is much closer to you financially? Right. The saying is just like, you're much closer to being homeless than you are to being Bill Gates. Like, I promise you, dear listener, and everybody in the comment section, I am too. Anyway, that has me fired up this week because y'all need to chill the fuck out.
And I don't think there's another department. And here's something that I always found a little bit ironic. As HR people, we can probably tell, like, if you chose 15 people from any company, like one from every department, and you grab the person from HR, recruiting, and HR BP, and said, okay, describe what each of the other departments do. HR is going to win that 19 times out of 20, because that's our role. We're the ones that are building the organization. But I think we all appreciate like how rude that would be. I would never tell a marketer that they're doing their job wrong, but I can tell them I understand what it is that they do. But the level of comfort that people have to tell us what our jobs are and what our jobs are not, despite having no clue what it is that we do, is just riveting to me. And someone had sent me an article from an employment attorney who said the three things that HR wants to do during a layoff. And I'm like, why are you asking an employment attorney? Like, the employment attorney's focus is, how do I get people riled up to come to me so I can take a third of the business's payout from them suing the company? And I'm like, well, why don't you reach out to an HR person and ask an HR person? Like, because we'll tell you. But the level of just total misinformation out there is nothing short of entertaining.
Though I do have to be honest, I don't know this is exclusive to us anymore. You're right that you wouldn't do this, but I think if we were to ask a doctor, if there's a whole bunch of anonymous people on the internet who think they know more about medicine than they do, they would agree. I don't think there's a profession alive that user 864271 doesn't think they know more than their job about. The thing is, like, people like us who put our name and face and have a thing, we know we don't know more about other people's jobs. But I do think the random anonymous idiot does think they know more than every single profession about their actual profession.
Well, I think they do. They're just geniuses. That's why they hide in anonymity and a bunch of numbers. It's the Illuminati.
Yeah. It's always a user. It's always someone whose account just got started. Just the video I used was like a video of like a WWF referee just like racing to the ring. And it was just like user racing to defend CEOs if you criticize them on the internet. But yeah, like, I don't know. This is a big thing. I mean, scientists will probably tell you over the last few years that there's a lot of people who think that they know a lot more than them as well. So
very fair. This tends to be a problem. In corporate roles.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to put them in the same pile as flat earthers. You know, I think they're all kind of in that same category. Like, what makes me laugh is like when they see this, like, I saw a video and you could tell that the person in the background was a flat earther. And they, like, this was actually just like a video someone randomly captured of a sunset. And then it picked up the audio. And this person was like, oh, look at how beautiful, like, the sun is like round and it's setting. And it was just kind of funny because you're like, you see the sun is round, right? It's round. It's round and it's going around the globe, around, you know, it's not flipping. It's going around. Anyway, sorry.
We're about to be smarter than scientists and really start discussing some of this round earth stuff and show how we can prove what it is too. But yeah, and it's funny because I think it all comes down to even this idea that like when you want to confirm anything that you think, you'll just find the way to. Right. These people who want to think they know more than a scientist or a recruiter or a doctor or anywhere else, all they have to do is find like the place. People always do this. They'll always just like come to my comments and be like, oh, well, have you been to geocities.682.org where this page says that recruiters didn't get laid off in mass last year? I'm just like, okay. like, I guess that's all we need. And I saw a flat earther video that even made me think of it where like, you know, they'll deny everything they see recent, but they were like, here's proof. And it was some like VHS video from like 1964 on like a boat of something. It was just like, so you just need to see like one video from any era of anything that doesn't really have any reference to it. And you're like, that's the point I need to make. And that's how you're all treating us. So stop it.
Knock it off.
The thing that, so related to careers and work, it's easier to blame a tool. It is easier to blame software. It is easier to blame a thing on why you're not getting a job and why you're submitting your resume. And I've had a lot of one-on-ones lately. And the first thing they ask is, you know, I want to make sure that my resume is ATS compliant. I don't think it is because I'm applying to jobs and I'm not getting responses. And I take one look at it and I'm like, actually, it's not the design. Your design is actually fine. It's the content. Let's have a talk about that, right? So, and you know, the three of us have like, I feel like we've been like screaming this at the mountaintop and people just don't want to listen. And we're like, it's not the applicant tracking system. But then you have companies who are selling like terrible products. Like I found one that's basically jobscan.co, the AI version, which is hilarious to me because now they're like, they partnered with a ton of universities to make sure that their resumes, when they submit it, they look and see what the job match is and making sure it's going to get past the ATS. And I'm like, oh my God, we're doing this. We're doing this. It's being done. Oh my God. Ah, I can't. Like, it makes my brain just want to fry up.
Yeah. It's just really amazing how much people want to talk about stuff that like they don't know. And it's funny because you mentioned this like a university. It just makes me think of, you know, one of the most notorious groups for bad career information is our universities.
Yeah.
And I actually have someone who was like sitting in on a university for like post-grad seminar and like job searching recently. It was like sending me messages like during it, like asking questions. And of course they were like, the resume has to be one page. You have to do this. Like, do you do it this way? This is the only way. And it's just one of these things that like, it's funny with universities because I know professors are smart, but in the same way that like, you wouldn't rely on me to tell you about like philosophy more than your philosophy professor, you would trust them more than me. Like just because they are a philosophy professor doesn't mean they know more than people who are in the career space. And I think it's really important with universities. If any of you out there are listening and you're in college or your college age or dealing with sort of these university groups, understand these are people who have worked in higher education for 10, 15, 20 years. You know, when was the last time they were in a corporate world? Ask them that. Is the information they're getting from just like a friend of theirs who's HR at some company somewhere? You know, have they been out there doing that? I think universities are really notorious for that. Unfortunately, they have people at a, you know, a captive audience. And they're trusted because a university is generally a good thing. People are sort of trusted there. But yeah, it comes down to the same idea of just like, just because someone's smart and really good at one thing doesn't mean they're smart and know everything about everything. And these university seminars, I feel, are very dangerous. And I feel like this went like a totally different path. But just like you saying that made me think about these messages I was just like seeing the other day. And I was like, no, this is all terrible. And young people are just being fed this information.
Well, it goes back to something I talked about in one of our older podcast episodes where I talk about how my dad was a university professor. Universities are not designed to help you get a job. They're designed to educate you. And this, like, the Career Center is basically a tack on. Like, you go to the Career Center, and like you said, people who've worked there have worked there for like 10, 15, 20 years. And they're like, you know, like, the fact that if you go to Harvard's website and you go to the extension school, go and check out their free resources. Just go take a look at it. They're going to tell you to put your full mailing address on your resume. No, you don't need that. No one's sending you mail. You know, no one's going to send you a mailed rejection letter, right? And what also irks me is that I feel like it's whoever is the best at marketing to these universities' career centers are the ones who actually get to tap into talking to students. So for example, Juan Solting, I'm going to bring them up. And these are two guys that started a company. The three of us know them very, very well. And the reason why we know them very well is because the three of us were tagged extensively in their content. We kept debunking all of their bad information. And they're offering their products to students for a discount. And the universities have embedded them. And as a student, you would think your university would take steps to move forward and vet the resources and actually ask for more information than whatever is skin deep, right? Let's go a little bit deeper. They don't do that. They don't do that. They just look at all the flashy stuff and go, yeah, sure, yeah. And then what happens is they offer a discount, and then the university can get a kickback from those discounts.
Boom. There it is.
I reached out to every college and university in Northern Illinois and Southern Wisconsin last summer. Every single one. And I offered to come for free with zero sales pitch and nothing to give, speak with students, run a virtual seminar, provide some resources, anything I could just to sort of help. I was like, look, I'm new into this world and I'm not trying to sell anything here. But I have valuable information and I think it out there. Not one said yes. Many of them asked me to like pay to join like a vendor list to go to like their career fairs and things like that. I was like, no, I'm not coming to a career fair to set up a table and sell products. I just want to help educate. And none won, because any answer I got was sort of like, oh, we have people who handle that, or we have this and that. And just, it's this sort of like gatekeeping almost of it. Just this idea of like, well, our department needs to be able to do this stuff. And it was something. I just thought everyone would dive into this. Like I had no idea it would just be like such a bad idea offering free helpful advice to college students.
They said to you, Mike, hey, if you want to be on our vendor list, you can pay us. Mm-hmm. Universities are a business.
Yep.
There's a reason why. Oh, hey, you know what? Like I look at universities like toll booths. Like, okay, well, the university, you know, oh, we need to give people raises. We don't have that much money. Okay, let's start raising tuition. And they'll keep raising it and raising it and raising it. And students will keep wanting to go to university and wanting to go. The students then have to take out high interest rate loans. And so on the backs of students, you know, loans is what is fueling these universities, that and, you know, donations from their alumni.
Yeah, I feel like we've become an anti-science and anti-education podcast today, which is route we've gone down.
You know, I think people need to understand the reality. Like, once you understand how it works, then you can make it work for you. And I think that's what we always push, is like, people just understand what you're getting yourself into. Like, you know, the fact that you can't take out a business loan when you're 18, but you can take out a student loan says a lot. Like, if you have no work experience, no history of starting a business, why is it that you can't get a $10,000 loan from the bank, but instead you could get a $100,000 loan to go to college for 4 years for whatever degree you choose? There's no like the bank's not going to say, well, you have to go study engineering and we'll give you $100,000. They're like, here's $100,000. You can study, you know, liberal arts and do underwater basket weaving as your minor, and that's fine with us. And I'm not criticizing degrees. I'm just saying, like, businesses are in the business of making money. And, you know, these are, student loans are a way of annuitizing future income for banks and schools.
Go get a $100,000 loan to learn that a resume has to be one page and you have to include your references on it.
There you go. Thanks for bringing it back, Mike. Sorry, I got like super heavy, you guys, but it's like, this is the crap that like irks me. And then user 87924 telling me I'm an idiot. And I'm like, okay, like, do you want to like me to sit you down and talk my credentials? But even if I did, they wouldn't care. They're just underachievers on the internet who have nothing better to do. Yeah, exactly.
If there is one clear message today, we are done with user bunch of numbers. We are no longer taking anything from user bunch of numbers. We will not sit here and be held hostage by you.
In one of my videos, like, it was the big one that had gone really viral on salary negotiation. And it's like, it's up to almost a million views and it has like 2,500 comments. So like going in there doing any and looking for anything is going to be a nightmare. But someone recently posted saying, this guy has absolutely no idea what he's talking about. He said in a previous video that a cost of living increase was the same as a merit increase. And what he was saying was technically not wrong, but like, if you work in HR long enough, you know, you can sort of just use them interchangeably because no matter what, you're getting 3%. And not all companies use them based on merit. But he made like 4 different comments in it. And of course, I could see them. And I was like, everyone, check out this guy over here. He knows what he's talking about. Like, you know, anonymous profile user, 4 blah, 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 blah.
Always.
And I was like, all right, everyone, come to this guy. Listen to this guy. And he was like, you're wrong. You're wrong. I'm like, I'm trying to get you all the attention, man. Like, everyone has to know I'm scamming them. Everyone has got to know that I'm a fraud and that no one, you know, but I'm like, I don't know how else to boost your message.
Yeah. I like, I love that. That's one of my favorite things is not even the people defending CEOs is great. But one of my favorite things are these users. And they're just like quick comment of just like, this is bad advice. Nobody listen. And I'm just like, well, then give better advice. I'll reply to people all the time. I'm just like, okay, I went to your page. I looked for your video on salary negotiation. I would love to learn or take lessons. I often offer these people, hey, I'm all about learning. My LinkedIn is public. Send me a message on LinkedIn. Let me see where you work. And I will donate to your favorite charity for the help that you give me and helping teach me. Usually I just get told I don't associate with cucks like you as a response to something like that when I offer that. But I put it out there for them. One of my favorite responses I started doing for a little bit, and then it felt a little bit like bullying, and I don't want to be a bully on the internet, even though these people are clearly the bullies here, is I'll reply to these comments and answer as if it's a job interview question. Like somebody one time was just like, oh, you're such a piece of shit, blah, 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 blah. And I like quoted them and like started a new video with like their quote on there. And I was like, here's how I would answer. What is your greatest weakness if I was this person? And then I just like started answering. I was like, I forgot how to treat people like humans. And one of the ways I could start to work on this, and like I just went on that way. And I started doing that for a little bit. And then I felt like it was just sort of dragging out issues I could have just not been messing with.
That's amazing. I think that's I love those. Yeah.
I was like, how do I keep this on task? got to stay in your niche. Your TikTok will never push your videos.
It's true.
I'll tell you what, this has turned cathartic as well. It's just going to be our thing. These podcasts are just turning into therapy. I feel bad for Dan because Dan had a topic he wanted to discuss today, but I think as punishment for his sniffing to the microphone at the beginning, we just absolutely skipped it because we got on these rants. And we may do it on another episode as well, because I think today we just had to tell a lot of y'all to chill the fuck out, which I actually made in a video one time. I posted a video just said, some of y'all need to chill the fuck out. And I think that can be advice a lot of you need to hear.
Before we leave the subject of funny TikTok shenanigans, I have to say that on my new account, the anti-bullying thing is really a great filter. Although I always love getting the notification. I'm like, oh, someone wants to throw down when I get the notification that the anti-bullying thing is on. But one of my favorite ways to now troll people is there was this arrogant jerk in my comments about the Generations video that's obviously comedy, but some people always take it so seriously and use it as a way to attack the other generations. And I found like Gen Z to be one of the most informed, one of the most very conscientious, one of the most, hey, we're not buying this BS. This does not mean we're lazy sort of generations there are that don't just do what the previous generations did. And so when people kind of come for them, I'm like, this has not been my experience. And then there was a person who wanted to argue with every single person. And he was trying to post articles from Forbes, from these more right-wing conservative sites saying like Gen Z is lazy, 63% of Gen Z still lives with their family, Gen Z has a higher dropout rate, Gen Z is the least employed. And people are like, well, a lot of Gen Z hasn't even graduated school yet. But now TikTok doesn't like links because it brings you off the page. So TikTok will always put that in the filter. So this guy kept screaming at people, I keep posting links and the OP keeps deleting them. And I'm like, I haven't deleted anything. I'm like, go ahead and post your art. This guy, I wanted to take a page and sort of send it to him, but he had blocked me. About 85 comments of his links were in the filtered list. I just wasn't approving them. He was like, OP keeps deleting the comments. And I'm like, I haven't deleted anything. Post your
that
links,
filter
man.
Filter is annoying. It is very annoying because of that. Because I don't want to delete comments. I don't care. Go on there and say whatever you want. But they get filtered. And when a video gets big, that video I talked about where I said that RTO mandate, it's about 1,000 comments. And just to keep scrolling to the bottom of them all just to see what filter ones are in there and let them happen is a lot of work. But people are like yelling at me. I'm like, my full-time job isn't just like approving your fucking mean comments on my video, right? Like I do have other things to do.
Wait, do you know you can go in through another tool, right? You don't have to go through the comments.
No.
If you hit settings, privacy, comments, and you'll get all of the filtered video. Yeah, because that way's terrible.
Wow, we all just learned something today, everybody. Thank you, Dan, for teaching us.
Settings, privacy, comments, filtered comments. And it'll list all the unfiltered. Oh my god, I can't wait for both of you. You're gonna find tons and tons of comments. It'll list
for
everything.
Changed my life.
Yeah. I'm happy I can help.
Yeah, because I have been scrolling to the bottom of these videos again and again just to let these two anonymous users argue and call each other cucks back and forth, and I have to keep approving it over and over again. It's so much work.
Yep, no. There you go. Much easier way.
like, amazing. You're a cuck, and you're a cuck, and you're a cuck. Approve. Approve.
This is what's happening. Yeah. And then everyone just, I referenced at the beginning, I don't want to get super into it, but like, stop bullying that 8-year-old girl. I don't care if she wasn't a good singer. Leave her alone.
Seriously. By
the time this airs, we may be past this topic. She's not a Nepo baby. Her dad's a teacher. She sang the national anthem at 100 different sporting events. Maybe this performance wasn't that good. But regardless of good or not, she's 8. And if I ever found you on the internet as adults talking about my children that way, I hope you'd be ashamed of yourself. Many of you should be ashamed of yourself is today's lesson. Maybe not you, the listeners. You're all wonderful. You're award-winning. But send this to your friends who need to be ashamed of themselves. That all said, as we wrap today and promise to maybe get to Dan's topic, if you ever stop sniffing in the microphone to make Pete mad, always got to wrap this up, make sure we land the job and do this perfectly. Farrah, any hesitations about this episode?
I have no hesitations about this episode other than I feel like this episode may end up getting sent to some universities and they're going to be like, so,
good.
But yeah.
They already all said no to me. They're not going to say double no after listening to this episode. Dan, any hesitancies?
I have no hesitancies at all, but I do have to disconnect right away because I have to hop out and get my food that is outside patiently waiting for me.
All right, we are going to go so Dan can go get his food. Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you at next Corporate Pizza Party.
Bye, loves.